It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and yesterday we had an incredible day as I shared with you one of my favorite messages from Colossians chapter 2. And Paul told us that when we were dead in our sins, God made us alive with Christ, and he forgave all our sins. He took the law and he nailed it to the cross, and now Satan cannot judge us and condemn us because we now are under this new covenant of grace, and God sees us holy, righteous, and blameless, not because of our performance, but because of what Jesus did. We left off with verse 15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So Jesus took away the one weapon Satan had against us, and that was the law. He could judge us and condemn us. And so he said in verse 16, therefore, that's the important verse, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. And he told us those were a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now, in verse 18, we're going to pick up today. He says, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Now, what does all that mean? It's just talking here about people who get super spiritual, and instead of trying to relate to God and teach people to come through Jesus, they delight in this false humility, talking about all that they have seen, and they try to impress you with all this religious gobbledygook. Paul is telling the Colossians here that these people are coming along and trying to bring them back under the law, trying to cause them to live by their standards and all their extra rules that they want to lay on the new Christian. And he's telling them, he says, such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You see, friend, the law basically was powerless to keep you from sin. But the new covenant of grace, God tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, he said, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people, not just the Jews. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope. You see, friend, it's grace that's going to enable you to say no to the things that you used to indulge in, the things that used to bring you down, hurt you, and hurt other people. So what do we take away today from chapter 2? I believe chapter 2, we need to take away the fact that righteousness is a free gift that God gave us through the cross and what Jesus did when he died upon the cross. But now we come to the third chapter of Colossians, and Paul's going to talk about holiness. Holiness and righteousness are different. Righteousness is our standing with God that Jesus gave us, where we are adopted into the family, and in Christ, we're a new creation. But Paul is now going to talk on the subject of holiness. Holiness is how we live out our Christian faith. It involves making good decisions to live right and to be an example to the world around us and show them Christ. Now let's pick up with Colossians, the third chapter. See, it's interesting because in the original letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, there were no chapters and verses. It was just a continuous letter. And that's what we're doing here on Fresh Oil. We're just continuing on. So look at chapter 3 of Colossians, and it begins with saying this: "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Now, what is your heart? Your heart is your thoughts, your feelings, and your emotions. Paul is telling us here, get your mind off this world and its pleasures, and put your mind on things above. Get your mind on God. He says in verse 2, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." If your mind is set on earthly things, it brings fear, anxiety, and you can be overwhelmed. But when you put your mind on Christ, the Bible says He'll guard our hearts and minds. Paul says in verse 3, "For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." See, friend, when you came to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the old you died. And now you're hidden with Christ in God. We are now in Christ Jesus. I love the "in Him" verses in the Bible. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Him we live and move and have our being." When you come to know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you into Jesus. You're now in Christ. And He says in verse 4, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." So talking here about putting off the old man, our old sin nature, because now we've been raised with Christ to walk in a newness of life. We're now to set our minds on things above. And He tells us here, when Christ appears, we will appear with Him. See, He's talking here about the return of Jesus, that we will see His glory and we're going to be with Him at that point. When Paul said, "Christ, who is our life," I believe he's referring here to what he said to the Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When you become a Christian, your perspective on life changes. You're now on a new mission. Look how Peterson puts it in the Message. He says, "Your old life is dead. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ in God. He is your life." Now, Paul goes on in verse 5, and he says, "Put to death, therefore," there's a "therefore" verse, "whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." So Paul tells us we have to put to death these sins of the flesh that want to control us and lead us away from the will of God in our life. And he says it's idolatry. That is putting something before God. In verse 6, he goes on and says, "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips." Notice Paul says here that you must put to death these things. God's not going to do that for you. He atoned for the sin. He placed it upon the cross. But now he tells us we have to make a decision to walk in holiness. Righteousness is a gift, but holiness is a walk. So here in Colossians chapter 3, Paul is laying out some rules for holy living. He goes on in verse 9 and says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Are you beginning to get the picture that a Christian should stand out in our society? He talks different, his walk is different, and he certainly puts God first. That's the new creation God has made us to be. Paul goes on in verse 11 and says, "Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all." Paul is driving home the point here that the barriers that have divided us, they've been broken down. We are now all one in Christ Jesus. In verse 12, Paul picks up, he says, therefore, so he's going to change the tone, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Just like putting on the armor of God, this is something that we must do ourselves. We have to clothe ourselves by making a decision that we're going to be kind, that we're going to be humble, that we're going to extend compassion and gentleness, and that we will be patient. Yes, these are fruit of the Spirit, but at the same time, it's a decision we make to let God be honored in our life. Paul goes on and says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. How are we to forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Now, under the old covenant, we forgave in order to be forgiven. But under the new covenant, God always does first, and then we do in response to what he has done for us. See, we forgive because we've been forgiven. We give because he first gave to us. Paul continues with verse 14 and he says, and over all these virtues, over humility, gentleness, patience, kindness, compassion, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. See, just like God is love, our motivating force for everything we do for those around us has to be love. And then it brings us into perfect unity. Now, verse 15 is an incredible verse here in Colossians chapter 3. It's a verse that carries an important principle. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Dr. Ed Cole said years ago, peace is always the umpire for doing the will of God. God gives us peace, and we let that rule or be the umpire in our hearts, because he has called us to peace. Paul continues on and he says, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. He's laying out a plan of worship here for us. First of all, we dwell in God's Word. We let God's Word dwell in us as we can teach and admonish others. We sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and we have gratitude in our hearts to God. Now, let's wind up today with verse 17. Look what Paul says here. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's such an important verse, friend. No matter what your ministry is, no matter what your gifting is, as we serve one another in love, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. We don't do it for ourselves. We don't do it to receive glory or recognition. No, we do it to serve in his name. And then we give thanks to God the Father through him. Hey, I'm enjoying this teaching verse by verse through the book of Colossians. And I hope, if you've never had verse by verse teaching before, I really hope that this is showing you, you can understand the Word of God. Just a little 15 minutes a day, even getting into God's Word, can make a dramatic difference in your life. Now, tomorrow we're going to get into chapter 4. We'll finish chapter 3 at the end here, where he gives us rules for Christian households. And we're going to be finishing up this week with the book of Colossians. Thanks for joining me today. Walk in grace, friend. God loves you with an everlasting love. And we'll see you right here tomorrow as we explore the book of Colossians.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and he he makes his mercies new every morning.